Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for Amy's Kids Show. Wow. I have been busy this week. Has anyone else been busy? Feeling like there's so much to do, running around, being so busy, feeling tired even a little bit. Anybody out there feeling a little bit tired? Oh, I am. I'm going to do a nice yawn. Oh, and a nice stretch. Oh my goodness. That feels a lot better. Well, I am here today with a lot of things to share with you. I have found another super duper incredibly inspiring person that I want to share with you. And you may have heard of her before. Her name is Harriet Tubman. And Harriet Tubman was a conductor on the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad. What does that mean? A railroad underground? And a woman named Harriet Tubman was a conductor on that railroad? Well, what does that all mean? Well, basically, she's a hero. She's a superhero, and she's a real woman that lived back in the same time as the last hero we were talking about. Does anybody remember George Washington Carver? Well, for the past few weeks, we have been celebrating George Washington Carver on Amy's Kids Show. And so while I was on that theme, you know, studying that time period when George was alive, I also found another hero. Boy, that time was full of heroes because, well, there were a lot of people putting other people down here in our country, the United States of America at that time, because there was slavery at that time. It was legal to own slaves in our country. And so there were a lot of people putting a lot of other people down. But that's not the part I want to focus on, because that happens all the time, right? And it's happening now still. But the really, really amazing part is that when those hard things happen, there are probably even more people who step up to lift other people up. So just like George was lifting people up, Harriet Tubman was too, right around the same time, right? Their lives overlapped. Isn't that amazing? Wow, this is such an amazing planet, and you're here with me, and our lives are overlapping. Thank you for joining me.
There's a music train running through the valley, and it's making up a melody as it goes. It's a rusty railroad song, and we're humming right along, and the steam starts singing when it blows. So blow your whistle, freight train, like an old familiar refrain. There's a tempo in the track and a rhythm in the clickety-clack, riding on that old music train. Thumping like a bass drum, the smokestack is blowing out a rhyme. The empty box car sounds like a steel guitar, and the conductor is keeping us on time. So blow your whistle, freight train, like an old familiar refrain. There's a tempo in the track and a rhythm in the clickety clack, riding on that old music train.
the towns that it goes through. The porter's on trombone, and I'm a belting on the baritone, and the brakeman is blowing the kazoo. So blow your whistle, freight train, like an old familiar refrain. There's a tempo in the track, and a rhythm in the clickety-clack, riding on that old music train, riding on that old music train.
For kids. Have you ever heard of a woman named Harriet Tubman? What about the Underground Railroad? Harriet Tubman is a very important person in the history of the United States. And today, we are going to learn all about her and the many amazing things she did. Around the year 1820, Araminta Harriet Ross was born on a plantation. Both of her parents were enslaved, which meant that Harriet was also born into slavery. Harriet Tubman's exact date of birth is unknown, but we do know that she was one of nine children and had a nickname, Minty. Because Harriet and her family were enslaved and treated like property, she experienced a lot of pain and abuse growing up. Some of her siblings were even sold to other plantation owners. And so her family was broken apart. Wow. Can you imagine having some of your family sold? In 1844, when Harriet was 24 years old, she married a free man named John Tubman. Around this time, about half the African-American people in the area where she lived were free, including Harriet's father, who was released from slavery at the age of 45. Although he was free, he remained working on the same plantation with his family, who, unfortunately, were not given their freedom. In 1849, she fled the plantation with two of her brothers. Although her brothers turned back, Harriet continued on and escaped to Pennsylvania with the help of the Underground Railroad. She was so brave. What was the Underground Railroad? Unlike the name, it was not in fact a train on railroad tracks, but actually a network of people, homes, and hiding places that were set up to help Southern enslaved people secretly escape to the North. The Underground Railroad started around 1810 and ended in the 1860s. In all, about 100,000 people escaped enslavement using this network. What an incredible system. After her own escape, Harriet returned to the South to help others do the same. Because of this, Harriet Tubman is sometimes called the conductor of the Underground Railroad. Her knowledge of the land, animals, and plants helped her do this. In 1850, a law called the Fugitive Slave Law was passed, which stated that any enslaved person who had escaped from the South could be captured and returned. In response to this law, Harriet changed the route of the Underground Railroad's destination to Canada, where slavery was outlawed. When the Civil War began in 1861, Harriet decided to work with the Union Army of the Northern States as a cook and a nurse. During this time, she boiled native roots and herbs that she had foraged into a medicinal tea to help treat those suffering with dysentery. Later in the war, Harriet became an armed scout and a spy, and was the first woman to lead an expedition in the war. She guided the Combahee River Raid in South Carolina, which freed over 700 people from enslavement. She was one amazing person. Harriet bought a small plot of land in New York and eventually married again in 1869. She and her husband, a Civil War veteran named Nelson Davis, adopted a baby girl named Gertie. In 1913, Harriet Tubman died around the age of 93 and was buried with military honors at Fort Hill Cemetery in Auburn, New York. There are dozens of schools, buildings, and other places throughout the United States named in her honor, including the Harriet Tubman Museum in Cambridge, Maryland. She is a true American hero. Harriet Tubman was a recognized hero during her lifetime, and after her death, has become even more famous due to her heroism and bravery. She is an inspiration to those still fighting for civil rights today and shows us that even one person can make a huge difference. Maybe one day you will have the chance to be a hero like Harriet. Hope you had fun learning with us.
Well, folks, be a kind kid. Well, that's kind of our message today. You know, is that how do people grow up to be kind, even if they're growing up, you know, in a hard world where people put other people down? Why is it that kids seem to have this special magical ability to be kind, no matter what, to look for good things in their lives, no matter what's going on? And Harriet Tubman was definitely an example of that. She learned a lot while she was young that helped her become the hero, the hero that she was. She was a hero for many, many decades. She did not stop. She helped one person after another person after another person after another person. She helped hundreds and hundreds of people. And we're going to learn about how she had this instinct to be kind, to jump in and help. I have a couple of amazing stories about that I'm going to share next week. But first, I want to just remind folks that Harriet Tubman started out as a little kid, just like you. Just like me, right? We all started out as little kids. And we learn important things while we're little, right? Anybody out there who's young, what are you learning these days, right? What are you learning about? So much. And all of it is so important. And it's going to be so important for you when you grow up. You have no idea yet how you're going to use these things that you're learning to be like superpowers someday. Wow. To go out there and be heroes, which I know you are. And what is being a hero? Well, it's being kind. That's usually what it means, right? Being kind and lifting other people up. Well, first we have to know which way is up, right? And that's what we're doing when we're young. We're learning that. Which way is up? And how do I get up? And then how do I lift other people up? All right, so let's learn a little bit about Harriet Tubman, conductor on the Underground Railroad. I'm going to read parts of a chapter of this book by Anne Petrie. And it says she wanted a better life for all, right? She wasn't just satisfied when she got a better life. She wanted other people to have it too. Sounds to me like George Washington Carver and some of the other heroes we've been learning about, right? So here we go. Chapter 3, 6 years old. Anybody out there 6 years old? Anybody out there remember being 6 years old? What was it like for you when you were six? Well, by the time that Harriet Ross, because that was her name when she was born, before she got married and became Harriet Tubman, her name was Harriet Ross. She got her name Harriet from her mother and her name Ross from her father, who she lived with, both her mom and dad. By the time Harriet Ross was 6 years old, she had unconsciously absorbed many kinds of knowledge, almost with the air she breathed. She could not, for example, have said how or at what moment she learned that she was a slave. She knew that her brothers and sisters, her father and mother, and all the people who lived in the quarter, all the men, women, and children in the quarter were slaves. She had been taught to say, yes, missus, no, missus, to white women, and yes, master, no, master, to white men, or yes, sir, no, sir. At the same time, someone had taught her where to look for the North Star, the star that stayed constant, not rising in the east and setting in the west as the other stars appeared to do, and told her that anyone walking toward the north could use that star as a guide. She knew about fear. Sorry, I'm going to skip some parts of this because we don't have a whole lot of time for reading. So Harriet lives with her dad, and her dad's name is Ben Ross. Ben, her dad, could tell if it was going to rain, when the first frost would come. He could also tell whether there was going to be a long stretch of clear, sunny days. Everyone on the plantation admired the skill of Ben's. The other slaves were rather in awe of Ben because he could prophesy about the weather. Harriet stood close to him when he studied the sky, licked his forefinger and held it up to determine the direction of the wind, and then announced that there would be rain or frost or fair weather. There was something wild and free in Harriet because of her father, Ben. He talked about the arrival of the wild ducks, the thickness of the winter coat of muskrats and of rabbits. He was always talking about the woods, the berries that grew there, the strange, haunting cries of some of the birds, the loud sound their wings made when they were disturbed and flew up suddenly. He spoke of the way the owls flew, their feathers so soft that they seemed to glide soundless through the air. Ben also knew about rivers and creeks and swampy places. He said that the salt water from the bay reached into the rivers and streams for long distances. You could stick your finger in the river water and lick it, and you could taste the salt from the bay. He had been all the way to the Chesapeake. He had seen storms there. He said the big Buckwater River, which lay off to the southeast of the plantation, was just a little stream compared to the Choptank, and the Choptank was less than nothing compared to the bay. All through the plantation, from the big house to the stables to the fields, Ben had a reputation for absolute honesty. He had never been known to tell a lie. He was a valued worker and a trusted one. Ben could tell wonderful stories, too. So could her mother, Old Rit. That's what Harriet's mom was called, Old Rit. Though Rit's stories were mostly from the Bible. Rit told about Moses and the children of Israel, about how the sea parted so that the children walked across the dry land, about the plague of locusts, and how the children on their long journey to the promised land, the children of Israel cried out, "It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Harriet was aware of all these things and many other things too. She learned to separate the days of the week. Sunday was a special day. There was no work in the fields. The slaves cooked in the quarter and washed their clothes and sang and told stories. And the best of all was the Christmas season. For Christmas was a long holiday, a whole stretch of days, until after New Year's. The slaves had little work to do at that time of year. They kept the fires going, looked after the animals, milked the cows, fed and watered the livestock. The gaiety and laughter from the big house reached all through the quarter. There were presents for everybody and rare treats of sweet cakes and bits of candy and gay ribbons. The quarter was as filled with the sound of singing and laughter as the big house was at that time of year. Harriet thought that Christmas was the very best time of all. By tradition, there was no work. The holiday for the field slaves lasted as long as the Yule log burned in the fireplace at the big house. So, the people in the quarter spent days preparing the log so it would burn as long as possible. They chose a big one, so big that the strongest field hands bent their backs under its weight. They soaked the log in water, too, so that it would burn slowly and for a long time. It was cold at Christmas time. Cold in the winter there on the eastern shore. Yet Harriet liked the winter. She watched the flickering light from the fire. It cast long dancing shadows against the smoke-darkened walls of her house. She knew and liked the damp, earthy smell of the dirt floor that she had to sleep on. Huddled under thin, ragged blankets, aware of the chill. Even though on windy nights, puffs of smoke blew back down the chimney, making them cough, still, she liked the cold months when the fire was lit. Harriet was a solemn-eyed, shy little girl, slow of speech, but quick to laugh. She was always singing or humming under her breath, pausing to play, pausing in her play to look upward, watching the sudden free flight of the birds, listening to the Cherokee of the red-winged blackbirds, watching a squirrel run up the trunk of a tree in a nearby woods, studying the slow drift of cumulus clouds across the summer sky. This period of carefree idleness was due to end soon. The fierce old woman who looked after the children kept telling Harriet that things would change. Whenever she saw the little girl look up at the trees, the sky, she repeated the same harsh-voiced warning. Overseer will be setting you to a task any day now. Then you won't be standing around with your mouth hanging open, looking at nothing all day. Overseer will keep you moving. So that was just a little glimpse at what Harriet Tubman's life at 6 years old was like. And I did skip some of the really, really harshest bits where they explain how hard it was being a slave. Because I think it's really hard for us to imagine, right, how difficult life was, not having any choice about where you live or what you do or whether you even stay with the people you love or whether you have to go live somewhere else and how hard you had to work and whether you got to sleep or how long you got to sleep or what you got to wear or whether you had shoes. Harriet Tubman didn't even have shoes when she was little. She had a hard life growing up, but what were some of the things she learned, the important things she needed later to be a hero? I'm making a list.
Hey,
okay, I'll be your friend.
I
know you'll be mine too.
N.
New things are hard sometimes.
D.
Don't you worry, I'll be by your side.
Kind is kind of
the most important thing that we can all be.
Kind is kind of
a very special thing for you and for me. Just be kind. Ah. Just be kind, kind. Kind things you say.
N.
Nice is just the right thing to do.
D.
Don't you worry, I'll be kind to you.
Kind is kind of
the most important thing that we can all be.
Kind is kind of
a very special thing for you and for me. Just be kind. Just be kind, 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 kind. you back up when you have a bad day. That's okay, sometimes we're wrong, sometimes we're imperfect. I'll forgive you and myself, cause we're worth it. We try and we still mess up sometimes, but we'll continue to try to just be kind. Cause kind is kinder, the most important thing that we can all be. Kind is kinder, a very special thing for you and for me.
Hey folks, here on Amy's Kids Show this morning, we are learning about a hero, Harriet Tubman. Boy, she was such a hero. What did she do? Well, she helped people escape slavery at a time when it was legal to have slaves in our country. Harriet Tubman helped hundreds and hundreds of people escape from that horrible life and come up north where they could be free. And how did she do that? Well, first, she won her own freedom. She escaped and ran away, and we're going to learn more about that probably next week. She ran away, and boy, it was scary and it was hard, but she did it. And once she was free, oh, what an amazing feeling that was. Wow. It was everything she dreamed of. But do you think that was enough for her? Do you think she stopped there? Well, no. Because she's like us, right? Like you and me. Do you ever feel sad when you hear about other people suffering? Other people having a hard time? Does that make you sad? That makes me sad. That's why I skipped some of these sad parts on the story today, because I just didn't want to read them on the radio. I didn't want us all to be thinking about that right now, although it's important to think about it, and maybe you'll read this book someday so you can read those parts. But when we hear those sad things, it makes me very sad. And what do I want to do when I feel that way? Well, I want to help. I want to make things better. And that's how Harriet felt. Even when she won her own freedom, she wanted to help others. She went back down there again and again into that slave country to help those other people. Now, how did she know how to do all that? How did she know how to not only go through the dark, in the woods, in the swamps, in the rivers, to hide and escape people who were trying to hunt her down and bring her back? How did she know what to eat? How did she know which way to go? How did she know that there was freedom up north? How did she even know any of these things? Well, she learned when she was little, didn't she? When she was young, she learned some very important things. I've been keeping a list here of her challenges, but then her gifts and blessings, right? What were the things that helped her? Well, some of her challenges were that she was small. She was actually much smaller than other kids and other people. Even when she was grown up, she was quite small still. And she was cold when she was growing up. She did not even have shoes to wear or a coat or a bed to sleep in. She was hungry a lot of the time. She was treated very meanly by some people, very meanly. But what was super important when she was growing up? Well, she got to be with her parents a lot of the time. She got to spend time with her father, especially because guess what? Unlike most girls, especially at that time, most girls at that time worked inside the house or did housework or worked with children or with food, but she hated all that stuff. She worked outside. She liked to be outside, and she liked to work hard. And she was very strong and just got stronger by all that hard work. And so she spent a lot of time with her father. And what did she learn about when she was with her father? Well, she learned about animals and the weather and the rivers and how to read the stars and tell which way to go. And she learned about freedom. And she learned about honesty. And she learned about kindness. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that period of time and the Underground Railroad with some music. And there's a special musician who's going to sing some of the songs that people sang back then that helped teach each other. They wanted to teach each other how to find freedom.
By the poet Langston Hughes, who said, "Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. With billowing sails, the tall ships came, bringing men and dreams and women and dreams. Heart to heart, hand to hand, together we began to build this land. Some were free hands seeking a greater freedom. Some were indentured hands hoping to find their freedom. Some were slave hands guarding in their hearts the seed of freedom. But one word was there always, and that word was freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. In my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. There'll be glory, there'll be glory, there'll be glory over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Yes, before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Yes, before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free, and be free. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Strong words uttered by those who found themselves in bondage. But indeed, their journey had begun in their homeland in Africa. And there, in the many places, the many villages, the many cities, the tribes, either caught by a rival tribe or found and captured by slave traders, they were put on ships and sailed across the ocean on what was called the Middle Passage. And we often think about people who are transported away from their homelands, immigrants, and those who have been captured as being perhaps blank pages into history. But indeed, no human being is a blank page. From wherever our people come from, they bring with them their history, their culture, and their tradition. And these people of different tribes came here and found themselves being put into bondage in a nation that was founded on the principles of freedom. And indeed, as Thomas Jefferson wrote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they found very quickly that there was no equality for them. And yet they had this history, culture, and tradition. And one of those traditions was song. Song that would awaken them in the morning. Song that would define their day as they worked and they played and the children learned. Songs that they used as worship and songs of celebration. It wasn't long before they began to craft songs out of their experience of slavery, and those songs are called spirituals, the sorrow songs, as Frederick Douglass calls them. And those indeed would begin to be the bedrock for their participation in their own freedom. And often it was on the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad, a network of people of different races, colors, creeds, religions, backgrounds, people who believed that in a nation founded on the principles of freedom, there was no place for slavery. And yet, slavery was supported by the United States government. And it would indeed become a very, very difficult thing to get rid of, considering the fact that it produced so much money and so much wealth. All of our presidents from George Washington all the way through would begin to have to deal with this. And we know, of course, that it landed right in the lap of Abraham Lincoln, as he found himself being president of a nation that finally had decided it was so very divided that there would need to be a war to decide this amazing and devastating institution. But before that, people began to work together and collaborate. Now, of course, the enslaved, those who found themselves in bondage, helped themselves. First, they had to acknowledge their situation. And they did that through songs like this. Oh, Lord, how come me? Oh, Lord, how come me? Oh, Lord, how come me? I wish I'd never been born. They took my freedom away. They took my children away. They treat me so mean, Lord, and I wish I'd never been born. I wish I'd never been born. They acknowledged the devastation of their situation. But they also knew that their songs didn't have to just acknowledge where they were. The songs could also be aspirational. They could also point them in the direction of finding freedom. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The songs were both evidence of their devastation and also created out of the hope that they had that one day they would not be in slavery. And that is when, in the early 1800s, the Underground Railroad came into being. They had already been working for their own liberation, but now they found allies, abolitionists, people who believed, for a variety of reasons, that they had to help these people to get out of slavery. And of course, the people in slavery helped themselves. They began to sing songs that they could code and use as songs of faith and songs of freedom. They heard a story when they were in church, which often they were, or when ministers would come around and preach to them, that talked about a man named Moses. And that man named Moses had lived thousands of years before their time, but the story was that he recognized that his people were in slavery, and he decided, well, he was called to help to liberate them. And the people hearing those stories about Moses and the Jews in Egypt said to themselves, "My, that story sounds like our story." And so it was only natural that they would begin to think about creating songs that recalled that story and then moved their story forward. Because they said to themselves, "Who will be our Moses?" Now, we know that the Underground Railroad, even though it was in many places a very organized effort, a very contextual effort that helped people to create the desire for freedom and then to actually get them on the road, to create houses and places of safety. They called them stations. They called the people who manned those stations conductors and agents. And they followed that idea of having a railroad partly because it hid their activities. The masters, well, they thought that the singing slaves were just singing because they were happy. And indeed, the singing did enliven their spirit, but they were singing also because they were passing messages. Secret codes where they sang one thing and meant something quite different. The masters encouraged them to accept Christianity, and so many of them did. And they would sing a song, "Let us break bread together on our knees." Many of you may have sung this song in your churches. "Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees, with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun." We learn from our study of that time that quite often when they sang that song, they were not just singing praises to God, they were also singing to create the opportunity for a secret meeting. A meeting away from the eyes and ears of the overseer and the master. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, they were going to meet early in the morning. And they were going to meet perhaps on the eastern side of the farm or plantation. And they would meet there and they would talk, create community, and plan. They would sing songs to bring their spirits alive. "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away." Proving to themselves that even though they were in bondage, the master did not have all the power. But they would also sing songs like this. "Wade in the water, wade in the water, God's gonna trouble the water." Now I'm gonna invite you to join me tonight to sing this song of liberation and freedom. It is a song that came again from them looking back in history and looking at those Jews who were in Egypt, who were fleeing from the Egyptian army after they made their escape from Egypt and found themselves facing the Red Sea. And there, trapped between a hard place and another hard place, they sang out to their God, asking for liberation. And the story goes that they were delivered. Well, for those in bondage here in America, in slavery, they were seeking deliverance, but they knew that for the most part, most people would have to escape by themselves. If they were fortunate, they might think that their Moses would come forward. Their Moses would come and rescue them. But Harriet Tubman could only rescue so many. And so most of them had to escape on their own. But singing Wade in the Water reminded them that every day as human beings, we need water to drink. And we need food to eat. It reminded you that when you were near fresh water to get a drink, and to maybe catch some fish or an animal who came to the water to drink. It also reminded you that when you came near fresh water or a stream or a river, walk through that water. Because if you walk through the water, those tracking bloodhounds that the slave catchers are using would not be able to pick up your scent. And you're actually leaving no tracks. So I'm going to ask you to sing the call and response phrase. I will do the call. Who were those children all dressed in red? You say, God's gonna trouble the water. I know, I'm asking you to sing. Well, I'm a folk performer, so it's in the contract, I have to do it. So, take a nice deep breath, maybe a nice drink of your tasty beverage that you have nearby, and then we're gonna sing that verse and that chorus to wade in the water, to remind us of those people who were looking into the future, helping their freedom to become a reality. Who are those children all dressed in red? You say, God's gonna trouble the water. Must be the ones that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Well, who are those children all dressed in white? I said, God's gonna trouble the water. They must be the ones getting ready to fly. God's gonna trouble the water. I better wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Well, who are those children all dressed in blue? You say, God's gonna trouble the water. They must be the ones that made it through. You know you better wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. We know that only about 150,000 to 100,000 people managed to escape on the Underground Railroad. And you might say, well, 150 to 200,000 is quite a great number. But we also know that by the Civil War, there were some 4 million African Americans in slavery. Not all African Americans were slaves, but certainly the vast majority were. And not all of them would escape on the Underground Railroad.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have today to learn about Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad and the secret messages people sang to each other. Wow, it's amazing what heroes there are amongst us humans, isn't it? The more I learn about people, the more I love us. And so we've been learning about how, just like all superheroes, Harriet Tubman started as a child, just like you, right? And she learned important things while she was growing up, and you are too, right? And what were some of the things that she learned? Well, she spent a lot of time with her father, which was really important. She learned about how to live outside and watch the wildlife and live with the rivers and the weather and predict the weather and how to be quiet and hunt and fish and eat berries and stay warm in the winter. Yeah, she learned to be pretty tough and strong because she didn't even have warm clothes to wear. And so she learned how to keep herself warm and what was crucially important to survive and where to find it, right? Clean water to drink and things like that. She also was really helped by the fact that people are kind, right? Most people are kind, no matter what kind of awful world we might be thinking we're growing up in, right? There are still lots of kind people like you, like me, right? Because people are born kind. That's why we feel sad when we hear about people suffering and having a hard time. We want to help, right? And so even though Harriet and her whole family and all the people she knew, you know, were slaves and they didn't have much power, they couldn't control where they lived or what they did all day, but the things they could control, they stepped up and helped each other out and themselves as much as they could, right? Did you catch that part about the Yule log, making the log burn longer so they could have a longer Christmas holiday, right? Or hiding secret messages in their songs, right? Giving each other messages to help each other find freedom. And then, of course, there were the stories they got to hear. For them, it was probably the story about Moses. Moses leading his people out of slavery in Africa, out of the slavery, and across the water to freedom. And that's what trouble the water means, right? God is going to trouble the water. God asked the water to trouble itself, to split apart and let the people through. Well, we are going to keep learning about the story of Harriet Tubman to inspire us, right? To look for those avenues to freedom. Thanks for joining me, guys. You are the greatest. Have a wonderful time, and we're going to keep learning about courage. And where did Harriet find that courage? We're going to find out next week. Thanks for joining me for Amy's Kids Show as we celebrate freedom and you, because you're the greatest.
And it's making up a melody as it goes. It's a rusty railroad song, and we're humming right along. And the steam starts singing when it blows. So blow your whistle, freight train, like an old familiar refrain. There's a tempo in the track, and a rhythm in the clickety-clack, riding on that old music train. Thumping like a bass drum, the smokestack is blowing out a rhyme. The empty box car sounds like a steel guitar, and the conductor is keeping us on time. So blow your whistle, freight train, like an old familiar refrain. There's a tempo in the track, and a rhythm in the clickety clack, riding on that old music train. There's a music train running through the valley, playing for the towns that it goes through. The porter's on trombone, belting on the baritone, and the brakeman is blowing the kazoo. So blow your whistle, freight train.